Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Welcome to Who's a Good Dog? I'm Kate Lever, journalist and author of the book Good Dog. As ever, I'm joined by my lazy co-host, Bertie. He's a dog. Some may say the best one. On each episode of Who's a Good Dog, I talk to someone wonderful about their favourite dog. Today, I'm chatting to writer and performer Amru Al-Qadi. Amru is a prolific writer for my favourite medium, television. They're currently working on the TV adaptation of their memoir, Life as a Unicorn, as well as a show called Beards. They wrote the finale of the American TV show Little America and several episodes of legendary British soap Hollyoaks. They're also touring their debut solo drag show, which is called Glamroo, from Quran to Queen. And perhaps even more important than the many awards and accolades they've received so far, they also have a perfect sweet angel of a dog called Phaedra. Amru, it's so lovely to have you on the show.
Oh, thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Now, in Greek mythology, Phaedra is the wife of very naughty boy Theseus and daughter of Pasiphae and Minos, I believe, which means she is a demigoddess and also half-sister to the monster, the Minotaur. Is your dog, Phaedra, more of a goddess or a monster?
More of a goddess, but not because it's based on Greek mythology. I got the name Phaedra from the Real Housewives of Atlanta.
Fantastic. It's kind of modern Greek mythology.
Yes, and Phaedra is probably the most iconic character to have ever existed on a Real Housewives franchise. So I tell, like, you know, stuck-up white people when I meet them on parks that it's from Greek mythology. But then when I meet some good queers when I go on my dog walks, I tell them where the name really comes from. So it's a versatile name.
Amazing. I love it.
I think it's also quite genderqueer, like Phaedra. You could have King Phaedra or Queen Phaedra. I don't know. It's just a kind of dramatic, diva-ish name.
And is he a dramatic diva?
Yes, he is. I have definitely spoiled him too much. I mean, he's hooked on me like crack. I mean, he just gets so upset whenever I'm not in the room. He sleeps in my bed. He gets fed, you know, the best raw food, which I have to sear for him on the outside. He likes it raw on the inside, but he likes it seared on the outside. You know, I let him lick my face all day. I'm like his PA. I'm moving to LA in a couple of weeks and I literally have to go via Portugal to get him to LA. And I mean,
really? Like,
yeah, so that he can stay with me on the flight rather than in the hold. Because I mean, I'd rather sleep in the hold and put Phaedra on my seat than put him in the hold. He wouldn't be able to cope. He's so sensitive. I've tested him in the carrier and he howls every time he's in it. So it should be great for 16-hour flight. Can't wait.
Well, I hope it goes better than you're expecting. So given that podcast is obviously an audio medium, could you give us a little sort of visual description of Phaedra?
To be honest, he just looks like a cartoon teddy. He's almost like the abstract image of cuteness. He's so stupidly cute. He's just like this 5-kilo small mix between a Maltese and a toy poodle. He's sort of Paddington the Bear, light brown, soft silky hair that just curls around his face, a tiny black button nose. He's like a teddy. I mean, he's not like a real dog. Every time he poos, I'm like, why is my stuffed toy pooing?
I mean, that's a beautiful description. 5 kilos. See, my dog, who you may be able to see in the background.
Yes, I do. Licking herself.
Yeah, he's a little potato. And he's 10 kilos. So he's two Phaedras.
Yeah, I mean, Phaedra, honestly, like, if I walk him with the lead, I forget that I'm walking him. Genuinely, I'm like, oh, who's behind? Like, he's so, he's not really a dog. Like, I see people who have dogs, like whippets or bull terriers, and I'm like, oh, wow, you actually have to deal with this, like, beast. But, like, I basically have a Furby that sort of is alive.
Loving dogs has always been a pretty big part of my personality. Like, I had the dog encyclopedia when I was little.
Oh, bless you.
And now I've got my friends and family pretty well trained because they send me pictures of any dog they ever see in real life or on the internet. And they also are very patient with me when I tell them all about sort of Bert, my dog's, you know, motivations and dreams in life. Have you always been a dog person, and do you have your friends and family similarly well trained to tolerate all your dog content?
I've always loved dogs, but actually I grew up in Dubai and then Bahrain, where it's actually not that common to have a dog. My mum is actually really terrified of dogs. Like, she really? She can't even be on the sort of same side of the pavement as a dog. I think she had a really bad scar from a wild dog accident that happened in Iraq when she was a child. So she's terrified. So we weren't ever allowed dogs. And especially ever since leaving home, you know, quite young, and my parents live over there, I just always wanted to have, you know, that sort of unconditional support of just a totally loving creature. But with all the places that I was renting in London, I actually just wasn't allowed to have a dog. It was only until I moved into this house, which has a garden and everything, that I was finally able to just get a dog. So, I mean, it was probably in the works for like a decade.
Yeah.
But, I mean, when I take my dad actually loves my dog. I mean, they live in Dubai, but when they come to London, my dad is really, really fond of Phaedra. And when I bring him over to where my parents are staying, I have to put him on a leash, which I attach to the couch just so that he doesn't go near my mum, which makes him howl. Because even when I go to the loo, he starts crying because he's like, well, I mean, he really is addicted to me. He probably should go to rehab.
Oh, but your mum has met him.
She's not touched him. She thinks he's beautiful, but and he gets really frustrated because he wants to jump up and lick every new person. And like, he can't. My mum won't let him. So he just sort of like howls at her. And that sort of makes the problem worse, to be honest.
Well, speaking of howling, my dog is actually trying to eat a cardboard box just off screen behind my shoulder. So I'm just going to ask him to refrain from doing that. So I'll be back in 2 seconds.
Could you not?
Could you
not do that, please? Come here. Come here.
Hello, I'm Martin.
I'm Sam.
And every week we get together on our podcast Song by Song to discuss the music of Tom Waits.
Waits is a writer, musician and performer. You might know him from his 4 decades of songs like What's He Building in There, Downtown Train, Martha, Rain Dogs.
Or you might have seen him in films like Dracula, The Fisher King, The Ballad of Buster Scruggs, or if you made it that far, Licorice Pizza.
We're joined every week by guests from various backgrounds and disciplines, and together we take a close listen to his work, analysing the topics and tones he uses in his music, and honestly engaging with one of the most interesting voices of his generation.
Listen to our latest season or dive into our back catalogue by visiting songbysongpodcast.com or search for Song by Song in your podcatcher of choice.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
So if the decision to get Phaedra was a decade in the making, how did you find him? How did you decide on him?
Well, this was just before the pandemic. So it wasn't as sort of crazy, a sort of dog frenzy buying period as it was during the pandemic. But I always knew I wanted a Maltipoo because I am actually quite allergic to dogs, but they're hypoallergenic and they don't shed. And I ended up doing a kind of dog, what kind of dog should you get test, you know, online. And pretty much all of them always suggested I should get this kind of dog, a mix of a poodle. And it just works for my lifestyle, which is I travel a lot and I just can't really deal with those dogs that are deeply complicated. He basically wants to just sit on me and that's fine. But yeah, I went on Pets for Homes, found some puppies, and then I went all the way up to Wakefield, I think, met the family who were looking after the dogs and met the mother and the father and got to look around the house and make sure it wasn't a puppy farm or anything. I mean, the family were really, really sweet. It was a family. They had loads of kids. The dogs were always being handled. So I could tell that it was all...
Yeah, you felt good about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's perfect. He's perfect.
Yeah. Aren't they all? My dog is perfect too. And I deliberately chose, I didn't do a test online. I sort of did a test in my heart and knew that one of the laziest breeds, being a Shih Tzu, is the one for me. I've had a Shih Tzu before and she... Lady Fluffington, God rest her soul. She just napped a lot, napped and cuddled with small walks from time to time. And that is my ideal kind of dog situation. But I also think that my dog is perfect and I'm happy to concede that yours is also perfect. And we just
have they're all perfect.
The two most perfect dogs. So I remember when our dog moved in with us, he used to wee on the same spot on the sofa every time we left him. He used to bite me with his tiny little dagger teeth and he used to share his opinions throughout the night with our neighbours. What was it like when Phaedra first moved in with you?
It was actually really manic. I remember I couldn't believe how exhausting it was. I mean, they're so clueless. I mean, they don't know how to do anything as puppies. And unlike babies, they can move around. I remember finding it really, I was barely sleeping, it was and also just I just moved into this house and was really proud of renovating it and got all this furniture and stuff. And you just can't relax because every 5 minutes you're where is he? You are constantly on guard for about 3-4 months and everything scares them. The Hoover terrifies them. The washing machine, the dishwasher, I just remember feeling he is so vulnerable. And whenever I would be cooking, he would just sort of come near my feet just because he didn't want to be left alone on the couch. I crate trained him.
Yeah.
Just because whenever I left the house or whatever, I just needed him to just be in there because I was so nervous about him. But, you know, he ate my passport just before I was supposed to go on holiday.
No.
So that screwed up my holiday. Someone was like, he knew.
He's sabotaging your attempts to leave him.
Also, just like, he got sick a lot. You know, they eat the wrong thing. Mm. They throw up a lot. Like, it all was quite carnal, I think, actually, like having a puppy. I was constant, and I was also constantly worried I was not doing it right. And I don't think I was. I actually had to retrain him because I really messed up how I was training him in the park. I could never get him back on the lead. And, you know, you're just constantly worried that you're doing it wrong. And they are really chaotic. I mean, the whole thing was it's actually really very stressful, but really rewarding. And he is so well behaved now. And we have this like unbreakable bond. So I think if I were to get another dog, I probably would not do it from a puppy stage. I think I'd like to rescue a dog that's already
a little bit older.
It's just not glam having pee and poo everywhere. It's just really not glam.
Oh, I very much agree. It's funny with the crate training. It's funny how much you don't know about bringing up a dog until you get one and then you Google things every hour for months. But I didn't realize it was sort of to make them feel safe and to make them feel cozy. And we have a little crate for Bert to go into if he's, you know, scared of the fireworks or whatever. And I find myself quite jealous because it looks so comforting in there to just, and, you know, I am a very emotionally volatile person. I really feel things. And when I feel vulnerable and scared, I would love to crawl into a dark little space, space like a crate. So I kind of envy them that, but maybe not the sort of lead training and all of the rest of it.
Yeah, I mean, the hard thing is you do just feel bad locking them up in it every time. I'm glad the crate is gone now just because it feels weird now that he's 2 years old if I was locking him up every night.
Yeah.
And also he just sleeps in my bed now. I just sort of relented.
Yeah, I mean, Amaru, I would 100% have my dog sleep next to me in the bed. But early on, like even before we got a dog, my boyfriend said to me, we can't have the dog in the bed. And he explained his reasons and we were on a train and I cried because we didn't even have the dog at that stage. I cried thinking about our hypothetical future dog having to sleep outside of the bedroom. Pretty much weekly, I try and make my case for the dog sleeping in our bed with us. But my boyfriend always talks me down because of one thing, and that is that if we put him outside of the room, it means he can come back in. And in the morning, the first thing we do is open the door, and he jumps onto the bed with such enthusiasm. And then directly, like if my boyfriend's in the bed, he'll go over my boyfriend to get to me and then curls up in the smallest ball he can make himself and puts his head on my shoulder and sometimes shoves his little face into my armpit. And every time I think, oh, well, I wish he was sleeping in with us overnight, my boyfriend's like, but then you wouldn't have the jump and cuddle in the morning. And then I'm like, well, actually, the jump and cuddle is literally my reason for living. It's just the sweetest moment of my day every day. So that's where I come around. And that's the reason why he doesn't sleep over.
I hear you.
The next thing I was going to ask you about is obviously in terms of finding guests for this dog themed podcast, I do a lot of Instagram stalking to check whether people I like have left any evidence of having a dog in their lives and therefore being a good guest. So I went quite far back on your Instagram to a post you did on Phaedra's first birthday where you called him the love of your life.
Aww.
I empathize with this very much because my dog Bert is the love of mine. But you also wrote, and I quote, I don't know how I'd cope without him. Here's to many more years supporting each other, little lemon. Can you tell me a bit more about the love and the comfort that your dog makes you feel?
Yeah, I mean, on one level, it's probably quite narcissistic just because, you know, they just love you no matter what you do. I mean, I've been in bad relationships or, you know, you know, had friendships or whatever that were toxic. And literally all I have to do is like go to the news agent and come back. And it's like, I've done the best thing ever in the world. I mean, it's just so, it's just such a kind of, they just love you so desperately. And they're so, I mean, you know, I'm sure that's probably why a lot of queer people love having dogs. You know, you just, after like a lifetime of rejection or, you know, you've had difficult family life or whatever, you know, just to have this just loving creature. But also like they really do have their own personalities. He has his own mind and he has his own behaviors, and they're just a joy to watch develop. And it is a little bit like a partnership, you know, like, you know, when we go for a walk together, like, it's funny that he'll always just know where I am and come to me, and I know what will comfort him. When I'm down, he kind of knows, and he just gives me loads of kisses. And I don't know, like, it's just, it's so pure and uncomplicated. And it's also, although it is quite narcissistic in terms of, like, you are just getting affirmed constantly by this little creature, it is a good way to get out of your ego a little bit, just because, you know, especially like me, I'm self-employed and I live alone. Like, I could sort of just get lost in my own fantasy a bit, but it has been really helpful, like, waking up at 8 a.m, taking him out for a walk, and then again at lunchtime, and constantly having to think about, okay, if I'm out, what's he going to do? It's been nice, like, every time I come home from a drag show and I don't think I've done very well, or I've had a meeting and I don't think it's gone great, Phaedra will just come and jump on me, and it's like, oh, you know. It's quite a big ask on your life, having a dog. You know, it is not a small thing. It's like, I would say, changed the way that my life is in terms of how much I constantly have to think about what's going on with Phaedra. So it's been really good just in terms of my own mental health and just needing to get out of my own head a little bit. And also, there is nothing better in the world than seeing them happier. Also, because you see them sad as well, like,
yeah,
you know, if they're attacked or they feel ill. So when you bring out their favorite toy or whatever and they just seem happy, it's just like the best feeling in the world.
Mm.
I've also probably spent tens of thousands on him by this point.
They're expensive. It's a shock.
Not tens of thousands, but you do spend a lot. And like, yeah. I only give him gourmet food.
Well, it's what he deserves. But I like what you said about it. It's funny because you're absolutely right in the sense that you come home and it's like you've been to war and returned and they're so excited to see you. And it's this, you know, great confidence boost. But then I also think about this every time I'm walking Bert and I'm holding my little compostable bag of warm shit. Mm. And I'm thinking, this is both so confidence boosting to have him around, but also deeply humbling.
Totally.
You do have to look after this creature and they can be truly revolting. Like, they're so beautiful, but also repulsive.
Yeah, I mean, they roll around in fox poo during the winter. It's quite grim, like, having to take them on these walks when it's freezing. Sometimes they get up so early, like,
oh, yeah,
after a night of clubbing, like, when you just have to take your dog for a walk, I just feel so resentful. Like, it's, they do give you loads of love, but they do make you work for it as well.
They do. And there's a certain level of selflessness, or at least, like, because I, you know, I've written a lot about this, that I have depressive episodes and I have bipolar disorder, and there's so much of myself with respect to those things, but also just my nature, where I would get stuck in my head and go to a really dark place left on my own. And there's something about having a dog that draws you out of that and makes you feel responsible for a little nugget on four legs.
I mean, they can't do anything without you. I mean, nothing. They can't eat, they can't poo.
Absolutely nothing.
Like, my dog is useless. He can't even be a guard dog. I mean, he can't do it. He genuinely can't do anything besides be pampered.
Here's a question for you. You do queer Muslim drag as Glamru.
Mm-hmm.
Does Phaedra respond to you differently when you're Glamru?
He does get quite excited by the outfits because, like, there's just loads of sequins and noise. So he definitely knows that Glamru's in the building because he does sort of get quite excited by all the materials and the sequins and the wigs and all that. I mean, but then he does get quite frustrated because obviously he'll always try and lick my face, but when I've got a full face of makeup, I won't let him. So he can kind of get quite agitated because he's like jumping up to lick me and I'm like, not now. But when I get back, like, I mean, I don't think they have very good eyesight. I don't think he can massively tell. I mean, some people think they can't even tell the difference between the back and front of a face.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh my God, I've never heard that. That's very funny. Okay, so he might not sort of, have a very nuanced understanding of your character change.
Exactly.
But might be jealous of the outfits.
Exactly.
Very funny. Very funny. This is one question I really wanted to ask you, because I make up quite a lot of little songs and skits to do with Bert, mostly for an audience of just me, where I just sing about what he's doing or what I think he's thinking, or, you know, literally just every day about how he's the best dog in the world. You being an actual performer, I'm sure if you were to do that, they would be of a higher quality than my songs and skits. Do you make up little musical numbers about Phaedra?
To be honest, no. Though I respect that you do that. I do talk to him, but sometimes accidentally, like even the other day, I don't know if you've ever had this. I mean, it's because I live alone. I'll be like, oh, Phaedra, can you pass the remote? Phaedra, get me that. Or sometimes when I'm feeling really soppy, we'll just sort of hold him and look in his eyes and be like, I would die for you.
Yeah, yeah.
I literally do say that. And then he knows. Also, he knows, like, when I say I love you, he kisses me now.
Oh, yes. He knows.
Like, sometimes we just stare at each other, like, and I will literally be like, I would give my kidneys for you, Phaedra. And then he, like, licks my face.
I have a few things to say about that. And one is that a long time ago, I read a study that said that people who talk to their animals are smarter than those who don't.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
And I love to tell people about that because I think, yeah, I mean, sometimes strangers or family members will overhear the full on conversations I'm having with Bert and think I'm a little bit mad. But I like to remind them that it's just proof of intellectual.
I do talk to him. A lot.
There is great comfort in talking to someone who doesn't respond, to be honest.
I mean, sometimes they look bored. He'll just be like... And sometimes they don't want to kiss you as well. That can be quite humbling when you go to kiss them and they just turn their head or they just don't actually want to be near you.
That is devastating.
Phaedra can be cross with me sometimes, particularly if I've taken him to the vet or if I have to wipe his bum. He's got a very sensitive bum. Or like if I have to detangle him.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, he will ignore me for a while afterwards.
Oh, silent treatment.
Yeah, I do get the silent treatment. He gets particularly mad at me if I sort of have to clean him. I mean, when he rolls in fox poo, that is one of the most devastating. I'm like, I did not sign up for this shit. Like, I am quite glam, I'm sorry, but like, I just don't, like, I'm quite a chic person, I think. And when I have, like, when I have my house stenched of fox poo, I'm like, I'm going to give you up. Momentarily.
Yeah, momentarily, of course. Yeah, I mean, I really feel for you on that one because Bert does not roll in fox poo, but he thinks it's a delicacy.
Yeah, sometimes he does as well. Phaedra more likes to just roll around in it.
So what's the naughtiest thing Phaedra's done? Oh, probably eat your passport is probably right,
yeah.
Right up.
The page with my picture on it.
Oh. I really feel like he knew what he was doing.
It's weird because he doesn't eat anything. I couldn't believe it. I looked down and, like, the passport was perfectly preserved except the page with my picture on it, which was entirely eaten.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that
I could not look at him for a day. I literally was like, yeah. I think I just threw him in his crate and I was like, your stay. I was like Miss Trunchbull with a chokey. I was like, I was just like, I'm putting you in here for the rest of your days.
And then he probably looked at you with his sweetest expression.
He did know. He felt bad. Yeah. He knew. He knew I was mad.
I was going to ask, because I think about this a lot, because I'm quite pleased with London, because London allows dogs on trains and buses. There's a lot of pubs and cafes that are dog friendly. But back in Australia, where I'm from, there's like a really annoying number of cafes that are not dog friendly. You have to put your dog in a bag or a crate of some kind to get on a bus. And even then, it's at the discretion of the bus driver. And they are absolutely not allowed on any trains. Is LA a good city for a dog?
Well, yes and no. I mean, there's no trains or public transport, really. Oh, yeah, so you just have to have a car. So yeah, your dog can go in your car. And there's so many forests and places to hike and loads of parks and greenery. So it's a really happy place. I mean, the only issue with LA is there are actually quite a lot of coyotes, I've been told.
Oh my God, I don't even think of a coyote as being a real animal.
I know.
It's like a mythical beast.
Apparently they do kill a lot of little dogs. And so apparently just when I'm in my house, I shouldn't let him outside without me. But obviously I'll walk, so it'll be fine. And you can get these like anti-coyote sort of spike vests. They sort of look like genuinely like Lady Gaga BDSM. That's so hilarious. I might actually just get it for him anyway. He does dress very well.
Do you know, that was going to be one of my other questions, because I did see a photo on your Instagram of him in what looked to be a sort of Louis Vuitton pattern jumper.
Yeah, I think it's a brand called Louis V-Dog, actually. Louis Porton or something. Crap. Yeah. He also has a Fendi one, which I think is like Fendog. He also has a fake champagne bottle that he likes to play with, which is, instead of Moët and Chandon, it's called Mutt and Shandog. He has so many clothes. Oh, he likes them.
Amazing. Does he?
They will also relax him. Apparently, sometimes the pressure of the clothes on their body sort of relaxes them a little bit. I find that, like, if he's being quite anxious on a walk or whatever, sometimes just having a coat will just calm him down a little bit.
Oh, well, maybe he feels naked when you take him out usually and he just likes to wear a nice outfit.
I mean, again, sometimes when you're just like shoving them into like a onesie and they just look so confused, you're like, what are we doing with these creatures? Like, how, like, this is not what evolution wanted, is it?
No.
Like, because he couldn't survive, he wouldn't be able to survive in a park for 10 minutes without me. Like, he's an evolutionary disaster, I think.
But a well-dressed one.
Yeah.
So you have a book out which you are currently working on the television adaptation of.
Yes.
It's called Life as a Unicorn, which is out in paperback in the UK now and also America with Harper 360. But the subtitle is A Journey from Shame to Pride and Everything in Between. How much of that journey has Phaedra been on with you, and was he very helpful?
Well, I wish I could say, I mean, the book was published by the time before I even got Phaedra. But I'm glad I got a dog when I did, because I honestly think I was so anxious in my 20s, and that I'm almost worried that I would have just been quite terrified having a dog, because I already found it all quite intense at the beginning. Like, am I parenting him right? Why doesn't he want to eat? Why doesn't he want to, you know, so... I'm personally glad that I got him at a time in my life when, like, I had sorted through stuff, just because I honestly think I would have probably just used him as a stress ball, if anything. But I think they can be really repair. I mean, I really do think for anyone who's, like, going through loneliness or dealing with rejection or just feels, you know, sad a lot of the time, like, a dog really does just get you up and get you out. Also helps you meet people as well. I mean, I've made so many friends just from having a dog and stuff. So he has enriched my life massively.
Well, I hope he'll help you make friends in LA as well, because I think you're so...
There's loads of dog parks. Yeah, yeah.
Exactly. You can make all sorts of connections.
People seem to have quite big dogs there, just because it's like there's loads of hiking and there's loads of forests.
That makes sense.
Like, people have dogs that can actually do stuff. Like, like, I don't really know how Phaedra's going to
Would Phaedra need to be put in a bag for a long hike?
No, he keeps up. He's actually a lot of energy. Yeah. I mean, I must take him on 3 hours worth of walks a day.
Really?
Yeah, oh yeah. God. Like, he loves being on walks.
Oh, bless him. His little tiny legs just keeping up.
He has so much energy. I mean, it depends, really. Like, sometimes he just will stay by my feet and just roam around, and then sometimes he'll like chase dogs, and he's quite scared of big dogs now, just because they seem to, not because they attack him, but just because even when he plays with them, it just hurts him a little bit. So, but when he finds a dog his own size, thankfully he's also never been that horny. I mean, he has a tiny, tiny, tiny penis. I mean, even when it was erect, you could not see it. Like, he has, even his penis, it would never be able to go into anything, ever.
That's good.
Even my vet was like, this is this tiny, this is
this the basically most a micro penis.
Yeah, he has a micro penis. When he humps stuff, it doesn't even look real. I never had to deal with that. I mean, he has been, you know, done just because he was, but yeah, he's really just quite useless, but wonderful.
Okay, I'm going to let you get on with the rest of your day and the rest of your life, but I've got some quick fire questions. What is his favourite food?
Liver paste.
Ugh. What is his best quality, would you say?
Tail wag.
Beautiful. How Has he ever done anything heroic or brave?
No.
No, no. I think I could have predicted the answer to that one. What tends to make him bark?
If there's a really big dog walking near us and Phaedra's on the lead, he howls because he just kind of feels like he's trapped. And then also whenever he hears a car coming into my parking area, he'll run to the window and bark at it.
Both very good reasons. What sort of voice do you think he'd have if he could talk?
I think he would be a really femme twink.
What do you ask for when you take him to the groomer, and how does he feel about getting his hair done?
Well, he's quite good friends with my groomer because she has 10 dogs in her house.
10 dogs!
Yes. So he has a really good time there. When she's, you know, really shaved him, I come in and I'm like Angelina Jolie in The Changeling. I'm like, that is not my son. I'm not taking him. So I'm just like, keep him fluffy. I hate it when he's shaved. I just don't even want to look at him.
What does he tend to think about other dogs? Does he have a best friend or a lover at the park?
He is quite persistent and assumes everyone should play with him. Even if dogs are already playing, he just tries to interrupt. And even if they don't play with him, he just jumps on them and sometimes he gets shouted at. He's quite spoilt and precocious. He does think everyone should be obsessed with him.
And he's not wrong. Thank you so much for talking to me. It's been such a pleasure. And please give Phaedra an extra scratch behind the ears when he gets home.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Who's a Good Dog? If you liked the show, hit subscribe on your favourite podcast app and tell your friends at the dog park. If you didn't like it, keep it to yourself. And if you really, really liked it, I actually wrote a whole book about dogs. It's called Good Dog, celebrating the dogs who change and sometimes even save our lives. It's about my dog, Bert, and how he helped me through depression, and 10 other good dogs who've helped their people too. There's an elegant Labrador who supports the victims of crime, an autism support pug, and a collie who can smell blood sugar. Basically, if you like dogs, I can almost guarantee you'll like this book. This episode of Who's a Good Dog was produced by Arlie Adlington. Original music is by Luke Batt, and the artwork is by Ryan Hodge. Cuddles and big dog yawns provided by Bertie the dog.
Who's a good dog?
You just heard a Stripped Media production.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.